Miss Laura and Nick for taking your day and being with us today. We really appreciate that too. Amen. I so love the song this morning, Miss Judy. I love to see you and your daughter and your granddaughter singing together. It always blesses me. Brother Ken, I just saw you and your boy ushering. It blesses me, brother. Amen. You see families serving together. Some of you ladies get to serve in the nursery with your daughters. And I'm just glad it's you and not me serving in that nursery. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what the theme of the nursery is, don't you? It's scriptural. We shall all be changed. Hallelujah. Amen. Home sweet home. It's a wonderful phrase, isn't it? Many an American woodworker, Brother Jackson, wherever you are, amen, has been contracted to carve this sign so that folks could put it on the outside of their house. After a long road trip, one of my children, I think it was Eric, we got home it was hilarious. You know, he's 6 years old. He says, home sweet home. So what six-year-old says that, amen? Home means so many things to so many. And may I just say on a very personal note, church, we have some guests with us tonight, but Loomis Park Baptist Church, thank you for our home. Thank you for our home. It's the only home my children have ever known. It's the only home. And you folks, your giving and your generosity, without that, we wouldn't have a home. And I know I speak for Pastor Donald and Miss Marissa and for Pastor Mark and Miss Lindsay as well. Thank you for the homes that you provide for us. And as we begin this series, Home Sweet Home, we do so, I as your pastor, with some goals in mind that each of us, and I said it this morning and it bears repeating, each of us, no matter where we are, no matter what station we are, I know in the room we have grandparents and we have widows and widowers and we have parents whose children are gone out of the home, and then we have some step-parent situations, and then we have some nuclear families as well. Wherever you are, you could be single and haven't started your family yet. Wherever you are, God wants you to have a Christian home. Amen. And my desire as a pastor is that you would have a better home, a stronger. You may have a good Christian home right now. My goal is that it would be strengthened. It would be strengthened. It would be, you would have a closer relationship with Christ in your home, and that you would hear at the judgment, well done. You know, one of the reasons God gives rulers, the Bible calls them pastors, those that have the rule over you spiritually, is it says in Hebrews 13, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves to them, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. It'd be such a blessing to me as a pastor at the judgment seat of Christ if you, through these messages, through the Spirit of God and the Word of God, you had your home strengthened and maybe you resolved to have a better Christian home and you got to that judgment seat of Christ and heard, well done. Sir, you managed your home properly and well, and I'm pleased, amen. As a pastor, I'll tell you what, I have a Cheshire grin for you, amen. That's part of it. Lord willing, we'll cover a wide range of topics on the Christian home. We'll talk about the building of the Christian home and leadership of the Christian home and roles in the Christian home. And kids, you're going to love this one, discipline in the Christian home. Come on, church, help me, amen. Conflicts in the Christian home. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the shipwreck of a Christian home. And enemies of a Christian home. There's lots of them, amen. And let me just give a clarification right off the bat. You say, a Christian home, do you have one? Well, of course, Pastor. I mean, we're Christians. And we have a home, so naturally we must have a Christian home, right? Wrong. Two Christians living in a home does not make a Christian home. Amen? Certainly, when you think about a Christian home starts with being a Christian. First and foremost, you can't have a Christian home if you're not saved. If you've never trusted Christ, you need to trust Christ. He is willing, ready, and able to save you. With nail prints in his hands, he calls to you to be saved. It definitely starts with being a Christian, but can I say this? When we refer to a Christian home for these next weeks and months, we're talking about a home where Christ is honored and preeminent. Go to Colossians chapter 1, please, church. Colossians chapter 1. Sometimes we think of worshiping God as just a Sunday attitude. And listen, I'm certainly not against worshiping God on Sunday. We're here, aren't we? Amen. And we should be. It's the Lord's day. Gathering in the Lord's house with the Lord's people. Singing the Lord's song. Hearing from the Lord's word. Amen. That's commanded corporate worship. But, Colossians chapter 1, look at verse number 18. Well, really verse 17, which goes back to verse 16, and I could keep going and going. But if you look at verse 17, it says, "And he," speaking of Christ, "is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body," the church, "who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in how many things? All things, he might have the preeminence." Listen, I'm glad that Jesus Christ is a part of your life. Amen? I'm glad that he may even be prominent in your life. But he should be preeminent. Can't just be preeminent on Sunday. And I'll tell you what, we live in our homes. Jesus Christ should be preeminent in our homes. Chapter 2, if you look down to verse 7. Chapter 2 of Colossians, verse 7. It says there, we're to be rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Look at verse 8. "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Listen, ladies and gentlemen, how many of you believe by an outward amen that Jesus is deserving of preeminence? Amen. He absolutely is. And that's what we're talking about tonight. The importance of the Christian home. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ ought not to just be a visitor in our home. He ought not to be just a welcome guest in our home, as sometimes people say. He ought to be the head of our homes. So, I have a simple message tonight. Let me give you the context, of course, in Genesis. If you go back there, I think it's always important to give the context of the text, amen? And that is Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 31. We see the creation of God, don't we? Amen. We see our God that created everything in 6 days, glory to God, and rested on the seventh. But then, in chapter 2, verse 7, if you look at it with me, we see something else there. Not only do we see the creation of God, but we see the creation of God's image. And what is that? That's man. What does it say there in verse number 7 of chapter 2? It says, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Back in chapter 1, verse 26, God said, "And God said, let us make man in our own image." So there's the creation of God, there's the creation of God's image. But then in chapter 2, verses 21 through 24, there's the creation of God's pattern. God's pattern. And that is there, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of the man. Therefore," and here's the pattern, ladies and gentlemen, Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. See, what's the pattern? Man and woman leaving father and mother. Help me, parents. Get out. Amen. Get out. How about little sweetheart? She comes and says, oh, we're having problems. We're having problems. He said something mean to me. And dad says, that's nice. Get out. You're married now. Work it out. Hey, come on. Listen, I'm not talking about beating and things like that. I'm talking about little nitpicky, but work it out. You're married now. Leave and cleave. That's God's pattern. That's God's pattern. By the way, I did say male and female, didn't I? Did I say that? Because the Bible says that. Amen. Male and female, man and woman, husband and wife, the home. The home is important. And I have a simple, very just simple message on the Christian home's importance. I have 6 points. 6 points, Eric. 6 points, young man. I told Eric if he would write down all 6 of these points and say them back to me, that I'd buy the ice cream tonight. Not for you people, just for him. Amen. So if you write it down, and Miss Hazel will buy your ice cream, Brother Jack. Amen. Hallelujah. Number one. The Christian home can, the importance of the Christian home can be seen in, number one, it is God's first institution. It is God's first institution. And we just read those verses in Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. Later on, God would establish, I believe in Genesis chapter 9, human government. Human government. For societal benefit, amen. Later on, he would establish, in the New Testament, he would establish the church. Those are God's three institutions, the home, government, and the church, okay? But the first of them all is the home. The first of them all. And there's a principle in biblical interpretation, we call it hermeneutics, and it's called the principle of first mention. And let me read you the definition of it. That principle by which God indicates in the first mention of a subject the truth which that subject stands connected in the mind of God. Can I tell you something, ladies and gentlemen? I'll talk about it in a little bit. But this is why the book of Genesis is so important. This is why the book of Genesis is so important. It contains so many first mentions of words and subjects. Amen. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you how I absolutely know that the home is important to God is because it is His first mentioned institution. It's first. That's important. Number two. Not only is it God's first institution, but secondly, it is vehemently opposed by Satan. Yeah. I'm talking about the home. It is vehemently opposed by Satan. You're in Genesis chapter 2. Look at chapter 3. So the home is established. Here's Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden in a perfect environment. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know in the day thou eat thereof that your eyes shall be open and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. What happened here, ladies and gentlemen? As soon as God established the institution of the home, it was attacked. Yeah. Right away. And I tell you something about Satan's vehement attack of the home. It has never stopped. It has never stopped. And I got to tell you, in this day and age that we live in, it is totally ramped up. It's a full frontal satanic nuclear assault on the home. You know, Satan attacks the authority of the home. He attacks the authority. He attacks contentment. He attacks responsibility. He attacks the structure of the home. He attacks the participants of the home. And can I tell you some ways that he does that? And can I tell you what I think is the number one way that he attacks our home? Through the media. Let me challenge you with something. It's been a long time since I watched network TV. I don't want to be an old curmudgeon. There's just nothing good on it, but that's really true. Amen. Yeah. What's the last show that had morals? I mean, really think about it. That goes back a little ways, doesn't it, brother? Brother Horsch. I was thinking, of course, Little House on the Prairie. Some morals there. We got those on DVD. Thank God you can do that now. And I was thinking probably, I'm talking nuclear family morals, probably The Cosby Show. That ended in 1987, 30 years ago. 30 years of our country with plenty of TV streaming into homes without any morals. Forgive me now, ladies and gentlemen, stuff that's on now is death and degradation. Death and think about what you're watching. Think about what you're feeding into your home, allowing your children to watch. Death and media. And by the way, media is not just TV programs. It's internet. It's the music that we listen to in our home and that we allow our children to listen to in our homes. I think of promiscuity as an attack on the home. Rebellion. I think of drugs and what drugs do to homes. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the Christian home is important, number one, because it's God's first institution, but number two, because it is vehemently attacked and opposed by Satan. Number three, go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Something we see here, it's a blessing to my heart. 2 Timothy chapter 1. That's right after 1 Timothy, Brother Merrill. Amen. Hallelujah. Just checking. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse 5. Here Paul is talking to Timothy and he says here, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and am persuaded in thee also." You say, "Well, Pastor, where do you see the home in that passage?" I'll tell you this. Number one, it's God's first institution. Number two, it is vehemently opposed by Satan. Number three, it is the building block of society. It is the building block of society. And listen, we can bemoan the sad state of affairs in our country, and it is pretty sad. Listen, I don't want to get overly political, but can I tell you something I wish our president would do? Shut down the Twitter account. Yeah. Just shut her down, amen? It's like two kids on the playground yelling at each other. That's what Twitter is, 140 characters of yelling. Listen to me, we could bemoan the corruption and all the things that go on in our country, and of course, the moral state of our country is a car wreck. But you listen to me. The old maxim is true. As the home goes, so goes the church. And as the church goes, so goes the nation. See, the home is the building block of society. The home, it's the building block. And here you could see it, the building block in Timothy's life was that his grandmother, Lois, was a Christian and won his mother, Eunice, to the Lord. And Eunice, no doubt, with Timothy, and then, of course, Paul's help there. But it was the home. It was the home that was that building block of society. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the people we get in our government and the people we get in our churches are products of homes, individual homes. So, one, it's God's first institution. Two, it's vehemently opposed and attacked by Satan. Three, it's the building block of society. Four, go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And by the way, we'll be through going through several of these scriptures several times in these messages. Important. Repetition. Kids, I know you love this one. One of my favorite verses, Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And all God's people said, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Let me tell you something, young people. That commandment never goes out. Never. Never. There will come a time, hey, dad, you know what you are right now? If you have kids in your home, you're the commanding general. That's what you are. There will come a point when they leave your home where you're the counselor. You don't command them anymore. You counsel them. But listen to me, young people. There's never a time where you have the right to dishonor your parents. I appreciate Pastor Donald's heart on that. We've talked about that. And there have been times where we've had parents just do difficult things. I think especially of our young people that do come on our bus and things that just would leave you shaking your head. And we always tell them, do your best to honor your parents. Honor their wishes. Honor them. God will bless you for it. He always does. And it says here, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise that it may be well with thee. And there's the promise that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, I mentioned this verse this morning, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's God's first institution, number one. It's vehemently opposed and attacked by Satan, number two. It's the building block of society, number three. Number four, it is the place where the person is formed. The place where the person is formed. Now, I know what you're thinking. We had the little baby up here, Zoeana, today, and that was a blessing to see that little baby that was formed in mama's womb. I like what it says there. God talk. I think he's talking to Jeremiah. He said, I knew thee before I formed thee in thy mother's womb. Amen. Thank God for that process. But you know where the rest of the formation of children takes place? The home. The home. You see, it's in the home. I think about, I've told this story before, and I really do being a dad. And I feel like Steve Miller, he said a couple of years ago, I'm not wishing for this stage and that stage, and I'm just enjoying the stages. Amen. I like that. I think it was not too long ago where Katia was standing up at the dinner table. She's standing on her chair. Now she's pretty little, so you know you could understand why she'd be sitting on her chair or standing on her chair. But Miss Linda, I said, Katia, sit down. And she just looked at me with that beautiful smile, just praise God, straight teeth, and just looked at me. And I said, sit down. And then those of you with pacemakers, get ready, okay? I said, sit down! And she went, just sat right down. And actually, my mom was at the table, and she had food on her fork and kind of went like this, amen? And just didn't expect that. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? Yelling in the home is what works? No. I'm trying to tell you that when that little girl starts running to the road and she hears her daddy yell, stop! She better stop. That if she learned in the home to obey mom and dad, that she'll stop. All that happens in the home. I think about, I have boys. Their relationship with their mother will determine their relationship with their future wife. That's the home. That's the home. That's the importance of the home. See, in the home, character and discipline and proper relationships and love for God, all is formed and forged in the home. I think the home's pretty important. I think the home's pretty important. Number five. So number one is God's first institution. I'm really giving Eric a chance to get these points, aren't I? Number two, it's vehemently opposed and attacked by Satan. Number three, it is the building block of society. Number four, it is the place where the person is formed. Number five, it is a refuge from a sinful world. It's a refuge from a sinful world. The scripture I have there is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, and that's by faith, Noah, moved with fear. You know, the whole world was in the darkness of sin. But the Bible says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And you know what Noah had? He had a home where Mrs. Noah, Shem and Ham and Japheth grew up. And it was a place of refuge from the world. You know, I think about you men, and I think I mentioned this morning. I know I did. There's a picture on the internet, such a great picture of this man, and he's a very, very old man. And it says, who said pastoring is stressful? I'm 42 and feel great. Amen. It's a funny one, you know, and us pastors love it, of course. But you know what, Brother Ken, the truth is, you work that line every day. You may have lots of ungodly people around you. That's a stress and a strain. Some of you have a boss that as soon as you get in, he is going to ride you until the shift is over. True? And listen to me, moms, you know what the home needs to be? A refuge. I think of our children that are in public schools that are just constantly saturated with humanistic philosophy. You know what the home, the Christian home, help me church, the Christian home needs to be a place of refuge from the world. A refuge, a place of safety, a place where the love of God is and the love of mom and dad it's a place of refuge. I just have a note here. It said, the people of the world can be very cold, cruel, and callous. The home is a refuge, a place where you're always welcome and you're always loved for who you are. Amen? Let me give you the last one. It's God's first institution. Amen? It's important. It's vehemently opposed and attacked by Satan. It's the building block of society. It's the place where a person is formed. It's a refuge from a sinful world. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. You're probably still in Ephesians chapter 6. If you look at the end of chapter 5, point number 6, it is a picture of a divine relationship. It is a picture of a divine relationship. This is probably, other than the clear teaching of the Word of God, the number one reason why I can never, ever, ever, ever endorse a marriage that is outside of a male-female bond. Amen. I just can't do it. Amen. You know why? Because of these verses that we're about to read. It says in Ephesians 5, verse 31. This look like a familiar verse? Yeah. Even look at verse 30. For we are members of His body and of His flesh and of His bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. That is the same verse referenced in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. The the nuclear home, the husband-wife relationship, is a picture of Jesus Christ's relationship with his church. Not, listen to me, not the church and the church, which would be female and female. Right. Not even Christ and Christ, which would be male and male. Christ representing the husband, the church representing the wife. It's a picture. The home is a picture of our divine relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, one of the first things, and I'm closing with this. One of the first things, and by the way, I actually mean that when I say that. Some preachers say that and they're not even close to closing. We joke with Brother John Jenkins all the time. Biggest lie you ever told, Brother Jenkins, was I'm closing with this. I really am closing with this. I mean it. One of the things that the Nazis did when they interned the Jews in ghettos, they kept them all together in the ghettos. But when they got to the concentration camps in Poland, you know what they did? They separated the families. They separated the homes. One of the things that Pol Pot did after the fall of Vietnam and Cambodia rose from the Khmer Rouge regime from 1975 to 1979. He wanted a totally communistic agrarian society. He just totally broke up homes. I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. There is nothing more important than our homes. Amen. Nothing. And Lord willing, through this series, I want to try to help you to try to have a better home. Tonight was just kind of a foundational message on the importance of the home. We have to understand that it's important what goes on in our home. You know, I really think we'll be given account more for what happens in our home than what we do in church. You know why? We spend a lot more time in our home. Amen? It's important, ladies and gentlemen. The home is important because it's God's first institution. The home is important because it's vehemently opposed and attacked by Satan. The home is important because it's the building block of society. The home is important because it is the place where a person is formed. The home is important because it's a refuge from a sinful world. And the home is important because it is a picture of our divine relationship with Christ. Importance of the home. Father, thank you for the home. Thank you for the privilege where I